Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6. Paul continues in his letter. He says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." This is the word of the Lord. So yeah, as school's starting up this week, as you're getting ready to go back to the 9-to-5s and go back to the studying in the class, for those who are teaching, or those who have sent their kids off to school, we think about how school is just the process of learning. And we often think about our walk with Jesus as discipleship. They've often used the word pupils for disciples, almost as if we're in a classroom. But it's not quite like sitting in a schoolroom, but it's more like an apprenticeship, learning the craft, watching our master, watching our teacher. But also we were reminded that a lot of times in the Christian life, we just need good reminders of the way that we are to live, or the way that the one who we are following. And so today we come through Paul's letter to a very important, yet often forgotten, something that we say we do all the time, we're supposed to do, a very important discipline in the Christian life of prayer. And it's something that we continually need reminders of. We continually need to go back to. We continually need refreshing work on. And so, in light of school starting, I'm calling this sermon today Communications 101. Just the beginning of communicating. What is prayer? It's a communication. It's communicating with God. And you all know this, communication is not a one-way street. In prayer, we present to God our requests. We cry out to Him. We thank Him. We say things like we said in our call to worship, "Oh Lord, a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere." It's emotional. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we say like the psalmists do, "Lord, I'm down in the dumps. Why aren't you hearing me, Lord?" There's nothing wrong that you can say in prayer. It's expressing yourself to God, lest you become depressed. It's like that healthy expression that we need, like we need when we communicate with other people. Communicating with God, and not only with God as we see in this text, but also we make a communication with those around us, the outsiders as Paul calls them, those who aren't in the church. We think about the ways that our actions speak louder than words. We think about the ways that we communicate who we are with those around us in the workplace or in the classroom or wherever we are. So communication 101. And remember, this comes at the end of Paul's letter. Paul often does this in his letters to the churches. He's kind of written the gist of his letter. And at the end, in most of his letters, he says something to this extent. Continue in prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Give yourself to prayer. What are familiar ones? Philippians, he says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And the God of peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." That's a nice kind of strung out one, instruction on prayer, before the final greetings in his letters. Another letter, which is, I find his command to pray a little more intimidating, is a letter to the Thessalonians. He just says, "Pray without ceasing." And that's it. Pray without ceasing. If you're like me, that sounds impossible. How can I pray without ceasing? Don't you see all the things I have to do this week? Don't you see all the people I need to be in contact with and keep up with? Don't you see my to-do list, my grocery list? How am I supposed to pray without ceasing when I have so much I have to do? Well, I found in studying the scriptures and in my limited but experience with prayer is that prayer and faith in God, it really is opposed to human striving. There's nothing wrong with taking care of lists and having things to do and people to see. There's a responsibility about our lives that it's good. But we have to remember that amidst all the chaos and disorder and calamity that often marks our lives, we have to be people of prayer. Prayer really is opposed to striving and controlling our own lives. These invitations to prayer in Paul's letters that he writes to the forming churches back in the day, they're a really good reminder for us today. Are you stressed out? Are you trying to control your life too much? Is there so much in your life that you just need to let go of? We need to make time. We need to mark time out. We need to make space for the living God. We need to make space for Him to work. We need to remember that He knows what we need more than we do. Make time in your lives for prayer. Daily, set aside time. Start your day with a dependence prayer on God. Pray before your meals. Thank Him for everything He's given you. Pray with one another before bed. Spend time praying. Continue steadfastly in prayer. So how else can we do this? Yes, it's overwhelming. Yes, it might seem hard to mark time out or spend time in prayer. And yeah, we might know that it's opposed to our own control in our lives and that it's good. But how really can we do this? Well, the next little line here, I think, offers some help. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it, and with thanksgiving. Being watchful in it, or literally, keep alert. I'm reminded of Jesus' words to his disciples. He says, stay awake. Stay awake. Keep alert. Be on the lookout. Actually, recently I ran across a sign that I found funny. If you've ever had a dog that might be unfriendly to people, you might have put this sign in your yard, beware of dog. Or maybe you've avoided a house because you've seen a beware of dog sign. Beware, be on alert. Well, recently I saw a sign that said beware of, and then there was no dog, and then just said, just beware. Beware of, just beware. It's funny, right? We're supposed to be aware. Who knows what could happen? We're supposed to be aware of dogs. As we're driving, we're supposed to be aware of children that might be running out on the street. We're supposed to be aware of weather patterns that might come in and cause harm or turn off the lights. Jesus' language to his disciples is be on your guard. You never know the time when the master is coming. Be alert, be awake. And that's not quite the same language here, but we are to pray being alert, being on the watch out. As we hand over control to God in our lives, we're not just doing so blindly, but we're trusting Him, offering up prayers and petitions, supplicating for one another, and we're always having our eyes wide open, looking for how He might answer in unexpected ways. We're looking for how He is working in the world. We're looking for how we can join in prayer with other people. We're also looking out as we see just injustice and violence and things in the news that cause us our hearts to ache. We're looking out and we're seeing those things in those places where we can really do some great work by entering in to those places with prayer, whether that's in our neighborhoods or across the globe. We must make space and time for God to work in our lives and in the lives of our family, friends, and neighbors. So how can we stay constant in prayer? We have our eyes wide open. We're being watchful in it. And then also we're giving thanks. A lot of our prayers are saying prayers of thanksgiving, which is good. Don't feel like if all I say are Thanksgiving prayers that you're some first class prayer. That's not the case. I find that the more I give thanks, the more I find things to give thanks for, the more I'm entering into these little times of prayer during the day. Prayer doesn't have to be this long, go into your closet and spend half an hour praying. A lot of times, I've heard the analogy of your cell phone. Sometimes when you're catching up with a family member, it's good to have those occasional long periods on the phone. But it's also fun to just send texts throughout the day and keep up to date with. Text God throughout the day. Give him a text message. Tell him you're thankful for something. Stay constant in prayer. I mean, people are on their cell phones without ceasing, right? I think we can pray without ceasing in that, if we use that analogy. This comes after those great instructions in chapter 3 of the new life in Christ. And as an old late uncle once told his budding superhero nephew, with freedom comes great responsibility. And so with this great freedom that we have in Christ, we have a great responsibility. And that is something that we can steward well as we enter into prayer. Paul moves to a specific prayer where he doesn't just say pray without ceasing, but he then gives the church a prayer request of his own. He says, you know what I'm doing. You know what I'm doing with you. These letters I'm sending, we're planting churches. We're seeing God's kingdom spread in this area. Pray also for me, or for us, for his team. Pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Remember, the Colossian church, Paul actually never, you know, met them in person. He had a guy named Epaphras, who was his mailman, if you will, sending this letter to them. And so he heard news from them through the visiting and traveling of Epaphras. And we jump back to the very first part of Colossians, Paul's opening thanksgiving to them. He says, we thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, church, because of the hope laid up in heaven for you. You've heard the gospel. It's coming to you. It's spreading throughout the whole world. It's bearing fruit. Since the day that you heard of it and you understood the grace of God, you learned this from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister. So he opens his letter by praying and thanking God for them and the faith and the forming community there. And now, kind of in full circle, he's now asking them, continue to pray for us, that this might continue. Pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. And to be sure, this is a timeless prayer request. Paul was asking for his ministry in the ancient Near East, but this is a prayer that we can pray today. Pray for Trinity Baptist Church, that a door for the word might be opened. And not just for me, I'm not some apostle. This is for all of us. Let's pray together that through our church, a door, an opening, might be open. Not a literal door, but a pathway for the gospel. A pathway for the mystery of Christ, as he says. And surely you and I, we're not in prison. We're not in chains. Paul might have also been praying that literally the prison doors might have been opened so that he could share there, that people would be freed. But we can pray, and truly we are servants of Christ. We are bond servants of Christ. And we are, in one sense, in chains. We are Christ's servants. And in our lives, we are praying that his word might go forth through us. So we pray for an open door. And all the while, we have open eyes. And we're being watchful. And we're expectantly being ready to share the mystery of Christ. Paul continues his prayer request. Pray that I might make it clear. the English make it clear is like, okay, we talk about clear communications. That's kind of like a standard communication 101. Be clear. Keep it simple. Stupid, right? Kiss. Be clear. But here Paul is saying, pray that I might reveal the mystery of Christ. This isn't just talking about praying for some clear outline of the gospel. He's not praying that he might have some worthwhile little tract of the gospel to hand to somebody. He says, pray that I might reveal the mystery of Christ. That's how I ought to speak. He connects it back to his prayer request. Pray that I might reveal the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ, not just who he is, not who Jesus was as a person, but at least that, but the mystery of Christ as we proclaim when we remember him on the Lord's Supper. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. You can't succinctly say it, but that's one way. But the gospel, that Christ has died for our sins, that there is a new life available in him. Pray that this might be made clear. Verse 5 and 6, then he transitions and he goes back to talking to the church about how their speech and their actions really make an impact, and how that is also to look different because of their new life in Christ. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders. He's talking about Christian behavior here. Think about how you walk and how you live. Walk in a way that is winsome towards people. Make the best use of time. Really cash in on all those opportunities. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Our speech and our words, we're supposed to be listeners. We're supposed to be full of the language of the grace of God, and we are to be gracious towards people. Our speech is to be salty. Jesus says to his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. Our speech is supposed to be enlivened. It's supposed to be tasty and flavorful. When we think about evangelism today, unfortunately, a lot of times evangelism is associated with presenting the doctrines of Christianity in the right way. Or like making all the right statements. Or winning all the arguments. But sometimes when we win an argument, we've lost the person we're talking to, right? Sometimes if the argument to be won is more important than the person right in front of us, we've totally missed the point. Let our speech be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that we might know how we ought to answer every person. It's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay to not have all your theology in order. We are to treasure the person we're talking to. We are to be clear about our Lord and our Savior. But more importantly, we have to be gracious and flavorful in our speech. N.T. Wright, he wrote a little line that I liked. He said, a blameless life paves the way for a gracious witness. A blameless life paves the way for a gracious witness. As we think about walking and behaving around outsiders, as we think about seasoning our speech to be gracious and winsome, don't forget how much your actions speak louder than words. Finally, as we think about our communications 101, communicating as a Christian, we remember that, as we've already said today, we have an amazing example set out for us in the Lord's Prayer. How are we to pray constantly? We keep inviting God to make his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We keep praying for his will to be done in our lives. The things that we've prayed for this morning, oftentimes they're things that we realize we have no control over. And we just have to trust him. And we have to be watchful and wait to see what he will do. So after church, I'll invite you to put your phone number and email on there as a way to be in touch and communicate with one another. One point is, once the school year starts, we'll be getting back into a rhythm of having prayer times together, which is a great practice for us. So last week, Carla mentioned to me that she wishes she could come to those, but just can't because we've held them at the church. So she's going to host one of them. So even just an invitation, if you'd ever like to host a prayer time at your house, we'd love to kind of incorporate meeting in each other's homes for prayer. That's a great way that we as a church can practice this together, being watchful as a community. Because to be sure, this isn't something to do isolated in your own time. We pray the kingdom prayer, we pray the Lord's Prayer as a little household of the kingdom of God in the Upper Valley. Prayer walks. Go on a walk. Go on a walk and pray as you're walking. Prayer is a social thing that really is a blessing to others. And as we think about praying always and walking and behaving towards outsiders, and we think about evangelism, which if you ever ask a church, no one says that they're gifted in evangelism. But I know this church, and I know there are people in this room that are gifted in evangelism. It's something to be aware of as you're gifted. But something that I've found in the few conversations I've had is that maybe not everybody is ready to hear the gospel or let you go on a spiritual rant or talk about your faith. But there's a lot of people who might not be religious or might be of another faith, and they are very open to being prayed for. So my invitation is the next time you're talking to somebody and there is a doorway, an opening, ask them, can I pray for you? Was there something I can pray for you about? A lot of times the answer might surprise you. And then when you're praying for them, it's just you and God at that point. You can say whatever you want. They get to hear your language. They get to hear your communication with God. They get to hear your relationship. It's really, really powerful. So I list those just as practical applications. Let's pray together as a church. If you're interested in hosting a prayer time, I think we've done Tuesday nights in the past, which I think we might continue with. But if you'd like to host a prayer time, that'd be great. Or else just be on the lookout for the dates that will come soon. Go on a prayer walk, pray for your neighborhood, pray for your place of work, and if you're brave enough, ask somebody when you're talking to them if you can pray for them. It's a great opening for a door for the word and a door for you to pour out blessing and to make space for them to see God work in their lives. So once again, continue steadfastly in prayer. Be watchful in it with thanksgiving. Let us pray for an open door for the word, that we might make clear and reveal the mystery of Christ. Let us walk in wisdom toward outsiders, and let our speech always be gracious, seasoned and flavored with salt, so that we might know how to answer each person. Amen.